Good morning. What a great joy it is to look out and see all of your smiling faces as we gather together this day. Let us hear these words from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. As we come together this day to celebrate and worship, may God's presence and spirit be upon us all. In the next couple hours, the work crew is being sent off into Philippi, West Virginia, and we've got some individuals that are going to speak to that at this moment.
I'll explain that one in a minute. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. People that are much better at math than I am will tell you that a circle has 360 degrees. I contend that our circle has 360 days because it was about 360 days ago that we were standing here before you telling you what we had accomplished at last year's work trip, and lo and behold, we're there now. We have anxiously been looking forward to this day when our church sends folks to West Virginia to work on another project down there for a family in, actually, we're going to junior this year. Dave tells me at the earlier service.
My mother-in-law was born in junior.
And they tell me that when Leanna was born, which is 50 yeah. years ago this September, that they had to call her grandparents on the CB radio because of not having a telephone to the general store, and then a messenger went to the house and said, you've got a grandchild.
So Dave has relatives in that area, but we're going anyway. So.
Yeah.
We're going anywhere. But sincerely, we want to thank you. This church has supported this project, this mission project of our church, for many, many years, and supported it in ways that is absolutely incredible. Financially, gifts that we take down to the families, but most of all, your prayers. Yes, we've had donations of gifts, with tools, materials, but your prayers are what we covet the most. We pray for safe travel down there. We pray for safety and good weather on the site and safe travel back, and that we may touch lives. My wife reminded me this morning that the Bible verse, it says, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me, and that's what we're doing. We are so truly blessed here in our community. And some of these people down there have very, very little or nothing. And we're going to go down there and make a huge difference in somebody's life, in the life of a family, the Pritt family down there in Junior. So we ask you continue your prayers, you know, for us and for this mission of the church. I have a board here that is actually going to be built into the floor of the home. So as we did last year, we're going to have this back in the narthex after the service. We ask that you sign it. Put your name, put a little message on there, because this will be the way you can go and remain in Junior, West Virginia. Thank you.
This is actually the second year that we're calling ourselves the Rick Sims Memorial Work Trip. And just to let you know, there we started with this last year. And we will be not only placing this, which will be near the threshold of the entrance and exit to the rooms we're building, so that every time someone exits or enters those rooms, they will be going across the people who undergirded them. But we will also be leaving a small plaque on the outside of the building that says the Rick Sims Memorial Work Trip. And it's only because of your support and prayer that we're able to continue to do this year after year. This is our 20th build, and just wanted to let you know, for Patty, all of the food items that she'd asked for came in, and you could tell that we're United Methodists. This is a United Methodist thing, because we have so many cookies. I think she was hoping for maybe two dozen, and I'm not even going to begin to tell you how many we have. But the good thing is, what we don't eat, we will give to the family, along with all the other foods. We bring nothing; none of that food goes home. It all, whatever isn't consumed by the team, and we eat well, does go to the family. But Patty worked last night, and I know that she wants me to thank you for your support and your prayers, and for traveling mercies as we go on our way. God bless you.
I'm going to ask if all the members of the work team, if you would gravitate towards the center of the aisle, and you may do that now, stand. And if the rest of the congregation would stand as well and kind of move over, and if you can put a hand on one from the work crew, fine. If not, then lay a hand on the person in front of you, and we'll get connected this way as we share together in this litany together. All who take upon themselves the name of Christ are called into ministries of love and service by the example of Christ. As these members of our church begin their work among the people of Philippi, West Virginia, and Junior, we pray the blessings of God, our pastor in this church, upon their endeavors.
We recognize you as ambassadors of this congregation in ministry with the people of Philippi, West Virginia, and dedicate you to service in the name of Jesus Christ.
Through our prayers, we will be united with you in your work.
May God richly bless our labors of love.
Let us affirm our belief in the responsibilities of Christian service.
We believe in God, Creator of the world, and in Jesus Christ, Redeemer of creation.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, through whom we acknowledge God's gift.
We commit ourselves to the rights and dignity of all persons, and to the improvement of the quality of life.
We dedicate ourselves to peace throughout the world, and to the rule of justice and law among all nations.
We believe in the present and final triumph of God's word in human affairs, and gladly accept our commission to manifest the life of the gospel in Philippi and the world.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, your presence and spirit are upon us this day. With joy and celebration, your church goes forth into the world. We pray for the health and wholeness and safety of the workers that go, traveling mercies. We pray for a building that will be undergirded with a strong foundation, not upon the sands. We pray for the individuals who will remain here, who are supporting in prayers and gifts. We pray for those who will be performing the task of servants and doing their meal preparation. We dedicate to you, O God, as well, these gifts that are going to be shared and given to the family, these Bibles, these prayer shawls, and also these other prayer shawls that are for here or in West Virginia as well, for the hands that have knitted and stitched, for the healing of your people, for the healing of nations. Oh God, continue to bless each and every one of us here this day, that we might be a blessing to those that we encounter, those that we meet and interact with in the days and the weeks ahead. Oh God, send us forth with joy and celebration and a smile of Christ upon us and within us. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name that we go. Amen.
please stand and join me in the call to worship? Waves of despair wash over us. Troubles gather around us. Cares of doubt overwhelm us. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise.
There are two sections. I'll tell you, one or two, so you know which one it is.
Please join in the opening prayer. Lord of wind and sea, we turn to you when the storms of life threaten to overwhelm us. We cry out to you in our need when the howling winds threaten to sweep us away. Give us your peace, mighty one, and silence the fears within our troubled hearts, that we may find our quiet center and find strength for the journey. Amen. Please be seated. Let's join together in the responsive reading found on page 744. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. The Lord who avenges blood is mindful of them. Be gracious to me, O Lord. See what I suffer from those who hate me.
Your
The nations have sunk in the pit which they made. The Lord is made known. The Lord has executed judgment. The wicked shall depart to Sheol, all the nations that forget God. Arise, O Lord, let not mortals prevail. Put them in fear, O Lord. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to any visitors that are here today. Please make sure that you sign in the red register pads in the pews. Send them back towards the center aisle. We have a correction in the bulletin today. Flowers on the altar are in honor of Fritz and Diane's 34th wedding anniversary. I guess it only feels like half the time, not their 17th. And their anniversary is actually today, so happy anniversary to Fritz and Diane. The mission team that's coming to the Norwin area that's helping out some of the senior citizens. We are in need of some people to help out the outreach committee and to serve the snacks that the outreach committee will be providing for that team. If you are available to help on this Friday evening, June 29th, please let Debbie know, give her a call and let her know. I'm sure she would appreciate anyone who would be able to help pass those snacks out to the kids that evening. Please make sure that if you have kids that would like to attend Vacation Bible School, that they're registered. You can register online. You can also register by talking to Jack and Carolyn, picking up a form in the narthex. If you haven't signed up to help out with Vacation Bible School, please do that also. It's such an important week for the kids, for everyone in the church, and they really need us to lead them and to give them our help. We have a church picnic coming at the beginning of August. We're trying to get all the committees to work together on this church picnic. It will also be a Vesper service in the evening. Make sure that you sign up so we know what food is needed. Next Sunday, there will be a canoe trip, for sure. It's going to be in partner with Christ United Methodist Church. For the kids that have gone to youth, it's P. Diddy's church. It will be leaving here about 12:30 on Sunday, an afternoon canoe trip. Jack and Carolyn will be attending that. If you are interested in going as a youth or as an adult chaperone, please let them know. And I believe we have an announcement from Sparky this morning.
Good morning. My baseball team, the Wolverines, has earned a berth to the Elite 32 World Series in Orlando, Florida. To help offset the cost of the trip, the team is hosting a spaghetti dinner fundraiser here at the church this Saturday, June 30th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Tickets are $8 for adults and $4 for children under 12. Please consider attending. I will be in the Northex after church with tickets for those who are interested. Thank you.
And Nellie also has an announcement.
Can you guess what I might be talking about? You read that? UMC.org? That sort of sound familiar? I went to conference. Bruce and I went. I represented your church and my church. Bruce represented the district. So, we got to take a little peek at what was going on, catch up with old friends. You know, if you're like me, you collect old ministers. Well, former ministers, they're not necessarily old. I got a mug. Don't you love mugs? You can look at them and remember the good old days, you know. I would drink coffee out of them, too. Love coffee. My daughter won't let me collect mugs, but she doesn't know I have this one, so that's all right. I'll keep it in my car. She won't see it. So at conference, they do the business of the church. And this year, the bishop had a theme. I got a bag, too. Don't you love bags? When we walked in on our chairs, these were on the back of our chairs, all the little hands waving at us, the kids in the district did. That was really nice. And, well, where are my notes? Did somebody take my notes? Well, I can sort of remember what I was going to say. I probably put them somewhere. But what we did was they have a main session, and then groups broke off to work on legislation. So it makes it a little more efficient. And then when the group comes back together, they can vote on the legislation as recommended by the groups that worked on the legislation. So it usually works pretty smoothly, which it did this year. There are my notes. Never put a big piece on a little piece. I knew that. So the bishop had a theme this year, and it was dream God-sized dreams. Something to think about. He explained that as a vision of something that you and I can't accomplish on our own. It's bold, challenging, and just enough out there, in other words, beyond our abilities, that we can't get there without the help of the Holy Spirit. On the way to fulfilling it, though, you have to be willing to maybe not get to the end that you imagined you would get to, because whose dream is it? That's right. And sometimes he sees a better way than maybe we see. So it's important to stay tuned in to God. Well, while we were in the midst of doing legislation, the lights started blinking off and on. And they would blink. And the bishop saying, "What's going on? What's the matter back there?" There's a whole crew that works on the sound and the lights and everything. All of a sudden, the kids came out with shirts this color, only a little more day glow than this, really bright, flashy, bright green. And then this music started, wild music. Well, actually, it was Michael Jackson, his black and white song. I don't know remember the exact name of it, but those of you who know Michael Jackson probably would know it. Not Ebony and Ivory. There's another black and white one. But anyway, they started gyrating around, and just they were all over the whole conference floor. And just having a good time. Some of the advisors were out there too. And when they finished, the bishop leaned over and said, "Okay, you advisors, you pastors, stick to your day job." It's apparently they weren't doing too well. I don't know. I couldn't really see. So, and at the beginning of conference, they had a camp promotion. And there's a balcony all around this big gym that the group meets in. And apparently some of the camp people came rappelling down to the stage to announce about camp. So it was really kind of an exciting, you never knew what was going to happen next there. In the area where they had the sellers and the exhibits and the Cokesbury bookstore, there was one corner that had the cardboard cafe. If you can imagine, tables around, kind of like we have in our meeting room back here, but cardboard all around with designs and stuff on. And they were selling coffee. That's where I got the mug. And they had good coffee, too. They had about three or four different kinds. And then behind that, in the corner, they had a little sitting area so you could sit down and enjoy your coffee and hear some singing. They had some people playing guitars and singing. That was nice. A little unexpected perk that they don't usually have at conference. So then the really exciting part to me was they voted on candidates for bishop. Apparently every conference, when they meet at the general conference, okay, and to the district send to, no, the conferences send to the jurisdictional and then to the international, no, the general conference. They all...
Last year, we elected delegates to general conference and delegates to jurisdictional conference. The jurisdictional conference was held last month in Tampa, Florida.
Right.
That handles the whole world of the United Methodist Church. Next month, July 15th, I believe, jurisdictional conference, which we are in the Northeast jurisdiction, they will be meeting in Charleston, West Virginia. They will be hearing reports of committees, reshaping committees, and electing three bishops that will serve in the Northeast jurisdiction. So there's going to be, there are nine conferences in the Northeast jurisdiction, and then other caucuses can have delegates. So there's probably going to be in the neighborhood of 9 to 12 nominees for bishop, and they'll be electing three. Mm-hmm. So there's a chance that we could lose two of our district superintendents. And they are elected in July and have to be in their conferences September 1st. Talk about a panic nightmare. Mm-hmm. You've only got about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So there are two from our conference. One is Eric Park, who's the district superintendent in the Washington district. And the other one is our very own William B. Meekins, Jr. And he and Eric will go to the jurisdictional and then hopefully on to the next level.
No,
and
that'll be
it. Okay. So he may come back here as our district superintendent, or he may go somewhere else as a bishop. So we'd like to keep him, but whatever God's will is. God will work it out. Okay, let's see. That's about all about conference. If you have any questions about everything, you can ask me, and I'll either say no or yes.
The house.
That's how you vote in conference.
You want to tell me about the house, the picture?
Yes, that's next. The next thing I want you to notice, you may have seen this over here. There's a picture of a house, and there was a lady at conference. This is the Epworth Old Rectory. Does that ring a bell with anybody? You know who lived there? Amen. Good girl. She was the first service. That's John Wesley's home, where he grew up. Now, you might remember he was rescued from a fire in his home. And this is the restoration of that home, or the rebuilding of that home that was in the fire. But now the problem is they need to restore this because it's kind of fallen apart. So there was a Reverend Dr. Claire Potter, no relation to Henry, as far as we know. She has lived in that area where this house is, and she is heading up or part of a team that's working on getting this restored. They want to restore the buildings and then add a visitor center to that. So you'll be hearing more about that. And if you're not doing anything on September 9th, they're having a Heritage Open Day, and it's free admission if you can get to Epworth, which is in England, by the way. So if you go, let me know. I'll maybe tag along. Okay? If you have any questions, see me after. Pardon? This is now the churches. We need some suggestions on places to hang it. I'm not sure whose jurisdiction that comes under, but we'll work on that. So, and you know, I got to thinking, I didn't think there was a picture of Wesley here, but there is. Do you know where Wesley is? Right in this room, right up there, the first window, first section of the first window, with his hand up preaching, Bible in his hand. So, thank you.
One more quick announcement for the kids. There will be kids' own worship after the kingdom message, so make sure you go back with Amy. Now may the peace of Christ be with you. Please stand and pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning. I had to tuck a tag. My mother would shoot me if she knows I'm telling this story. But I've inherited that tag tucking thing from my mom. And the other day, we dropped Abigail off when we were going to conference to stay with my mom and dad. And so we met him at the Grove City Outlets. And I said, "Oh, Mom, your tag's showing." She had her shirt on inside out.
I'm on a tower.
Needless to say, that tag wouldn't tuck. Well, it gets worse. My mom says, "Well, I can't go into that store with my shirt this way. Here, gather around me." In the Grove City Outlet parking lot, she's whipping her shirt off so the tag's not sticking out. Oh, these old ladies. Oh, I didn't say that. I know I'm in trouble. Come on. How are you doing? Want to sit here? You sit on my lap today? Well, hello. How are you? Hi, buddy. Little sis? Yes. And your big brother and little sis? Yes.
I'm big.
Are you a big girl? And a big boy? A big girl? Yeah. What's that make me? Huge. That's kind of like, what's the story about the little man and the big guy? Do you remember that? Who's the really huge big man? A giant. What was his name? Goliath. He was huge. 10 feet tall. You know how tall 10 feet is? That's to a basketball hoop. He was a big man. And David was just a little boy, a little shepherd boy. But David knew that he could beat that giant because God was with him. You know how he did it? He stuck his hand in his pocket and he pulled out a stone. He had a little stone from the river and he had a slingshot and he put that rock in there and he spun that thing around and he aimed it at the giant right here, that bad man, and hit him, killed him. Well, actually, the stone didn't kill him, but it made him pass out. He fell down, and you know what he did then? He pulled out his sword. Cut his head off. Got rid of the bad man. And the Israelite army beat the Philistines. God says, it's the little things like you. It's the little things in life that are important. And when we have in our hearts that little seed of Jesus in there, then we can do great things with what God wants us to do. Do you ever plant a garden or a flower and put that little seed in the ground and watch that big flower that grows?
I do.
Yes. Yep. That's where we remember that God is with us. We can do great things. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we pray that you will bless these boys and girls, that they might have that little bit of faith, that seed planted in their hearts, to know that you're always with them and that we can do great things through you. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you give everybody a cup for me, please? And I've got some bulletins here. You want a green one? I'll bet she can give you a green one. You want a green one too? Here you go. How about one of these for you? There you go. How old are you?
10.
10. All right. She probably doesn't want one. All right. Thanks for coming up today.
Dear all members of the choir, I'd like to ask the choir members who are actually here to come up to the steps, and I'd like to ask the rest of you to look in the back of the folder, your worship folder, about the next to the last page, so you can follow along with us. The song is Here I Am to Worship. And if there's anybody else out there that wants to come join us, they're quite welcome.
Come now to the time in our service when we want to lift up our joys and concerns for individuals and situations among us. If you'll turn on the back page of our worship bulletin, you will see there a list of joys and concerns and individuals throughout this week to be lifted up in prayer. Also have received, we have another anniversary. Dean and Joyce are celebrating 45 years today. And they are grateful to the Lord for that. So. Any other anniversaries? Any birthdays? Uh-huh. Let us continue then to unite our hearts and our spirits as we go to God in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, what a joy it is to find ourselves in your presence once again this day. A day that you've set aside as a day to worship, to commune with brothers and sisters, to unite our hearts and our voices, to bring honor and glory, and to praise you. For indeed, O God, you are the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. And you are the one that has promised us that you will always be with us, that we are never alone. And so we ask and pray, O God, and hope that as we go through our daily lives and living, that we really won't sweat the small stuff. That we'll learn how not to sweat the larger things as well, because you are there. And you are the one that seeks to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us. You are the one, O God, that wants to be invited to be there in the very beginning, not in the end, as our last hope. That's why David triumphantly went up against Goliath, because he knew that you were with him. And may we learn the same. We come together as your people seeking that hope and that peace that passes our understanding. To experience the presence of your Holy Spirit that goes with us and before us. To lift up the joys and the concerns, the hurts, the needs, the prayers of your people. To pray for the sick. To nurture the lost, the least. To boldly go where society is fearful. To reach out to those in need. To offer a cup of cold water. To offer some food. To meet physical needs, so that we then can meet spiritual needs. To live as your servants in the world, O God, is our prayer. We pray that you might continue to bless each and every one of us, not only today, but every day, as our lives are intertwined with those around us, that they might see and experience the presence and the light of Christ within us, that it might radiate forth upon our faces, within our voices, our hands, and our feet. O God, we pray for the leading and the guiding and directing of this, your church. We pray for our denomination and all of those jurisdictions as they will be voting and electing. We pray for your guiding hands upon us. Oh God, we ask and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we share together in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would the ushers please come forward? great architect of the universe, you see the wonders of the cosmos as easily as you see the leanings and longings in each of our hearts. Creator God, as you journey with us, help us to live like children with hearts open wide. Help us to remember that the greatest commandments for our lives are to love you and to love one another. As we endure along this journey our share of struggles and sacrifices, despairs and distractions, help us to keep aware that the best way to prepare for the journey is with hearts open wide. May our giving be the way we keep them open, giving in love to help one another and in love to all your children. We pray this in your Son's blessed name. Amen.
Please be seated. If you look in your worship folders, you'll see that there are two scripture readings at this time. One is from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. The other is from the New Testament, Mark's Gospel. This reading from 1 Samuel is rather long, so let me see if I can kind of summarize it. We know that David was, as a young shepherd boy, was anointed king while Saul was still ruling Israel. And later on then, David's brothers are at battle, and Jesse, their father, sends David to take some supplies. And so as he goes, the Israelite army is on their way out to the battle line, where it appears they've been standing from time to time, and this huge soldier, this giant from Gath, his name is Goliath, taunts the Israelite army. And he basically has challenged them and said, let's make this easy on everyone. You send one person out, and that particular person and I will fight. And if he can beat me, then we will become your servants. But if I beat him, then you become my servant. And the whole Israelite army is kind of trembling and not quite sure what to do. They give the size and the weights of Goliath's helmet and the armor that he's wearing and the size of the spear and javelin that he's carrying, and it looks like it's just this huge piece of lumber with a huge bronze head on the end of it as its spear. David goes and he hears this giant taunting Israelite again, or the Israelites again, and he speaks up and says, I'll take him on. And in the presence of Saul, Saul says, or David says to Saul, let no one's heart fail because of him, because your servant will go up and fight against this Philistine. And Saul says to David, Saul not knowing that David's been anointed king in his place, you're not able to go up against this Philistine to go fight with him. You are just a boy. And he's been a warrior since his youth. And then David goes on to say, but Saul, you need to realize I have kept my father's sheep and I've kept them very well. And when a lion or a bear has come and snatched away one of the lambs or the sheep, I go after them. And I take that sheep or that lamb right out of that lion or that bear's mouth. And I've killed a lion and a bear with my hands. And I'm not afraid of this giant. And so Saul finally said to David, well, go, and may the Lord be with you. And so Saul then has his armor put upon David, but we remember that David's yet a shepherd boy, and so the armor doesn't fit him, and David can hardly move. We watched a movie. Anybody go see Brave? We saw it last night, and what was her name, that red-headed princess? I don't know. But she's in this dress that her mother's put her in and she can't function. She's a gifted archer and finally she's going to show these three boys and the rest of the family that she can shoot better than any of them. And finally she just rips this dress of her mother and away she goes. Well, David kind of does the same thing. He casts off that armor. And as he's walking past the riverbed, he picks up five stones and sticks them into his pocket and goes and addresses that Philistine that comes out to him. And this is probably the climax of the whole story. When the Philistine, verse 42, when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the field. But David said, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the bodies, the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. And that stone is cast, the scriptures say, sinking into Goliath's head, and he then fell face down to the ground. And then the words from Matthew's gospel. On that day when the evening had come, Jesus said to them, let's go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped, but Jesus was in the stern asleep on a cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are about to be swamped and that we are perishing?" And he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" May God's blessing be upon the reading and the hearing of these words to us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture and their claim upon our lives, we are grateful to you. Give us rest, O God, from those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Three short stories with a common theme. Story number one, in about 500 BC, it is said that Buddha meditated alone in an Indian cave for about 40 days. And then he staggered out of that cave nearly dead from starvation. A little girl from the nearby village saw him and offered him some milk and some rice pudding. Energized by this snack, tradition has it that Buddha then walked to the famous tree under which he meditated and received his enlightenment, and the village girl gave a small gift that launched an entire religion. Story number two, in the early 1700s, the French army had come close to taking the citadel in a city in northern Italy. But then a common Italian soldier developed a clever plan. He armed a mine in a tunnel, and he lured the French army closer, and then he blew himself up with the entire force of enemy army. The event turned the tide of the battle and eventually the war. A single soldier took out an entire army and turned the tide of a battle. Story three, when William of Orange assumed the English, Irish, and Scottish thrones in the year 1689, a group of opponents called the Jacobites, well, they took action to overthrow him. But they were unsuccessful in their efforts. And then one day, as William of Orange was traveling on his horse, a little mole flipped up a clump of dirt that the horse tripped on and threw its rider, William of Orange, and he broke his collarbone. While the king was recovering from that broken collarbone, history has it that he developed pneumonia and died. For years afterwards, the Jacobites toasted to this mole, calling him the little gentleman in black velvet. The tiny mammal had helped to eliminate their nemesis, William of Orange. Three stories and one theme. Small can be surprisingly strong and effective. According to the Mental Floss magazine, the village girl, the Italian soldier, and the tiny mole were all little ones who have become historical heavyweights. Now here's the deal. I'm not endorsing Buddhism. I'm not applauding homicide bombers, and I am not on the side of the Jacobites. They are stories to illustrate a single point. Smallness can be surprisingly effective. The story of David and Goliath seems to be a story that is totally lopsided. There's no way this little shepherd boy is going to overcome this 10-foot giant. But David says, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come to you in the name of Almighty God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day. And so this very day, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." You see, David knows that if he believes within his heart that the power of Almighty God is upon him and that anything can happen, he's convinced that the battle's not his. He knows that the battle is Almighty God's. Trusting God all the way, David runs quickly to the battle line, flings the stone at this Philistine, and knocks him to the ground, and the rest is history. I come to you in the name of the Lord. David's not full of self-confidence. David is filled with God confidence. And he knows that anything can happen with the power and the presence of Almighty God. When we talk about the power of small things, we're really talking about the power of Almighty God. We remember that story in 1 Kings in the 19th chapter when Elijah is running like a scared rabbit from Jezebel the queen. He's hiding in a cave and God says, "Why are you here, Elijah?" And finally God says, "That's enough." And there's an earthquake, there's fire, there's massive wind, and God is not in any of that. But when there is the sound of sheer silence, there Elijah hears the voice of God that sustains him. God is in the small stuff of life. We remember the words in Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostle said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." And Jesus replies, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would be done." The power of small is the power of God. But oh, what a force it is. It's the power of compassion that inspires a young girl to give some milk and some rice pudding to a hungry stranger. It's a power of sacrifice that enables a soldier to offer his life to save a city, let alone a whole country. It's the power of justice that drives a group of Christians to confront deeply rooted racism in their community. It's a power of community that creates close personal bonds and a high level of commitment to our churches. If we put our trust in Almighty God, when we do put our trust in Almighty God, amazing things can and will happen. That's the power of that small faith that is available to each and every one of us. Let's pray. O God, in the small shepherd boy, the still small voice in the sheer silence, the faith of a tiny seed. In all of it, O God, great things can happen. Your presence is always with us, O God, and upon us, and we pray that that small seed of faith, that it might be planted within our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that we might go forth into the world. That as your presence is upon us, we might do great things within and for your kingdom. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's stand now and sing our closing hymn together, number 512, Stand By Me. Our gracious and loving God, as you send us forth out into the world, we pray that in the midst of all that we do and all that we say, that we might feel and sense and experience your presence standing alongside each and every one of us. For we go, O God, in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.